Live from NPR News, I'm Nora Rahm. President Trump is demanding changes in the pandemic relief package passed by Congress this week. He calls it a disgrace. He says the direct payment to most Americans is too small.
I am asking Congress to amend this bill and increase the ridiculously low $600 to $2,000 or $4,000 for a couple. I'm also asking Congress to immediately get rid of the wasteful and unnecessary items from this legislation.
For example, the president objects to money being spent for museums, environmental programs, and foreign aid. He did not specifically say he had vetoed the bill. The package had cleared both chambers by enough votes to override a veto. President Trump granted pardons or clemency to 20 people last night. NPR's Kerry Johnson reports that includes former congressmen and people who pleaded guilty in the Russia probe.
President Trump has now undone most of the work of special counsel Robert Mueller. This week he pardoned George Papadopoulos, the foreign policy aide who launched the investigation by boasting to a diplomat over drinks. Alex Vanderswan, a lawyer who lied to the FBI, got another pardon. The White House says members of Congress lobbied the president to grant clemency to three former Republican lawmakers, Chris Collins of New York, Duncan Hunter of California, and Steve Stockman of Texas. The president also pardoned four guards at the security company Blackwater, who opened fire and threw grenades at unarmed civilians in Iraq. That 2007 incident killed more than a dozen people. Trump supporter Eric Prince founded Blackwater. Kerry Johnson, NPR News, Washington.
A surge of coronavirus infections has put California in a perilous position as it heads into the holidays. That state has recorded more than 300,000 new cases in just the past week. Hospital space is running very low. Will Stone reports.
There are more than 18,000 people in the hospital for COVID-19 in California. It's close to New York's peak during the spring, but the trends in California indicate the situation will likely get worse. Modeling shows hospitalizations could more than double by mid-January. Dr. Michael Hurwitz is with Hoag Hospital in Orange County.
We are certainly seeing the emergency room filling with COVID patients, a lot more COVID patients in the intensive care unit.
State health officials say there are discussions about implementing crisis standards of care, which would mean prioritizing some patients over others. But that California isn't at that point yet. For NPR News, I'm Will Stone.
The Trump administration announced this morning it's buying an additional 100 million doses of the COVID-19 vaccine from Pfizer. Most are to be delivered by June 30th of next year and the rest by July 31st. This is NPR News. Gunmen in Kabul have shot dead an Afghan activist who led an independent election monitoring organization. His killing is the latest in a spate of assassinations in Afghanistan that have targeted journalists, officials, police, and activists. NPR's Dia Hadid reports.
Mohammad Yusuf Rashid was on his way to his office when gunmen ambushed him in Kabul's chaotic traffic. He was the executive director of the Free and Fair Election Forum of Afghanistan. In another part of Kabul, a police officer was killed by a magnetic bomb attached to his vehicle. The violence follows an attack on Tuesday where a roadside bomb killed five people, including doctors who worked at the local prison. ISIS claimed responsibility, but other attacks have gone unclaimed. They come as the Taliban negotiate a peace deal with the Afghan government. Ever since those negotiations began in September, violence has surged in Afghanistan, including this stepped-up spate of assassinations. Dia Hadid, NPR News, Islamabad.
France reopened its border with the United Kingdom this morning after closing it because of a new strain of the coronavirus in England. The shutdown stranded thousands of truck drivers near England's port of Dover. They'll be allowed to cross the border after receiving a negative test for the coronavirus, a process which may take a few days. There's still no agreement in sight between Britain and the European Union, 8 days before Britain leaves the bloc. The two sides have been negotiating on how trade will work between the parties on January 1st. The main impediment to an agreement involves EU fishing rights in UK waters. I'm Nora Rahm, NPR News.